Fantastic. God's been, it's great. I'm loving this. Those are great tests. Yeah, I'm fired up listening to you, God. I could have sat there for the rest of the afternoon listening to that, actually. It's great, isn't it? Just putting it into practice. And I love that stuff. If we can, the more real we are, the more like Jesus we are. Jesus was pretty real, I reckon. I reckon anybody who turned up to... and he lived outside of the box. In fact, the thing I want to talk about today, I felt, was living outside of the box. Break the box. And I think we box in what God wants to do far too often. And let's live out. Let's upset a few people. Hello? I've upset several people in my life. And no, it'll be hard to believe. But... but honestly, most moves of God, you spoke about revival. I think we should live in a consistent revival in our lives. And I think in order to do that, we have to break boundaries all the time. I'm a Kiwi, so I can say this, okay? Rod, you can't say this. But Kiwis are sometimes very narrow-minded. We can sometimes look through a keyhole with both eyes at the same time. And I think sometimes it's good to get an outside perspective. For some of us, for me, I've spent a lot of time overseas, lived in Australia. I think Australia was a God thing for me to some degree, and just to get a little bit of a bigger perspective. Okay, I think the Aussies need to get that too sometimes, but it's good to get a bigger perspective. Now, it could be said that you have to travel outside of a nation to get that, but the reality is all you need to be is filled with the Holy Ghost, because he lives outside of our environment, and he's bigger than anything any of us are part of, and it gives you a better kingdom perspective, and it gives you just a bigger perspective from the God angle. And so we need to be totally overflowing with the Holy Spirit most of our lives. I think in Acts chapter, I think it's 16, it talks about a couple of guys who ended up in prison. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. It's a great book if you want to get fired up sometime. Acts chapter 16, and it says here, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were loosed and everyone's chains were loosed." How exciting is that? Everyone's chains were loosed. And I just want to talk about breaking out of the box, because I think if we break out of the box, we'll influence a whole world beyond what religion can do to us. And I'm kind of into that anyway, you know. We put a fashion parade on at church, okay? Some people don't like the idea of a fashion parade in church, but do you know that on the night we did the fashion parade, we had 400 totally non-church people turn up from out of the fashion industry, which is one of the fastest growing industries today, in that building, and we're able to share with them the love of God. And I think we often miss out because we lock out. You'll get criticism for most things you do in life that are outside the box. Paul and Silas would have been criticized for singing. The mistake the devil makes is putting more than one of us in one situation together. I think it could be divine strategy that, Rod, you and I are here this weekend. Just love a bit of the Holy Ghost and love to see people's lives just rattled a bit out of whatever box we're in. And I think there are things that we need to do consistently to live outside of that box and to break the box. I don't know if you've ever heard of B.P. Bertram. B.P. Bertram was born in the late 50s, contracted polio and was apparently going to die. He was crippled and he was in a box. And I don't know if any of you have read of B.P. Not a soul, apparently. And his mother, in those days, we didn't have the conveniences we've got today, so his mother would drag him around in a box from room to room so she could kind of watch what he was doing. And they were Christians, or religious people, should I say, but they would consistently talk how BP would be dead before he's 20, which is a real Christian perspective, you know? Just a nice thing for the kid to hear while he's in a box being dragged around. And BP was 7 years old. His mother would drag him from this room to that room. He'd watch his mum make the bed. She'd watch when the pastor had come around and they'd talk about how BP wasn't going to survive beyond 20 and how sad that was. Things like this. And one day BP is sitting in front of, mum put him in front of the mirror so he could entertain himself while she made the bed, and he's in front of the mirror and he has a vision. There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost that can appear in the most amazing circumstances of our lives, in the brokenness or in the disaster areas of our life. But the Holy Ghost turned up in the mirror and BP saw a vision of Jesus reaching down and grabbing his hand and pulling him out of that box, and he saw himself running through the grass with Jesus. And it became so real. We have to live with vision. The Bible says without a vision we perish and we become disillusioned and we begin to live small. But vision is a huge thing, and I often talk about vision. I have a white cane that I've acquired from the Blind Institute, I think they call it, do they? Is it what it's called? And so I use that quite often. I use it for preaching. I travel around the world. I quite often take my blind cane. I like using it in my own area in Albany. Sometimes go to the cafe and pull up in my HSV, which is a Holy Spirit vehicle, and tap my way across into the cafe with my dark shades on and go in there, have a coffee. Everybody sees you. They think there's a blind man having a coffee, and there's nothing strange about that. But it is very weird when you tap your way back to your car and tap it to make sure it's your car, get in the thing, and when you drive off down the road, every single eye is on your car. And it's a good way of getting attention. And I've used that cane for many illustrations, and I think sometimes we're blind to what God wants us to do and how he wants us to break out of situations that restrict us and hold us so that we consistently live free. It's not by chance, I don't think, that Jesus used the example of blind people. You don't see that many blind people around, and yet Jesus seemed to be consistently talking about blind people and said, can the blind even lead the blind? Won't they both fall into a ditch? And it's good to see a little beyond the reality of the world we're in. If we don't look beyond it, we become depressed and disillusioned and often lose sight of the gifts of God that can operate through our lives. And I came alongside there the other night at our fashion parade, and we had hired a specific camera person to come and take photos. And they have no idea who I am, these people. And I walked up to the cameraman and I said, how's it going? How's the photos going? He said, you know what? He said, I'd love to know who runs this organization. He said, I just took all the photos at the New Zealand Fashion Parade. And he said, this is unbelievable. He said, this has got to be far better than that one was. He said, these people, there's just such an atmosphere in this place. He said, I actually just like being here. He said, there's something about it. It's kind of contagious. It's friendly. It's kind of, I want to be here, he said. Can you believe this is a church? And I never let on because I thought it's probably better that I don't at this stage. But I got into a relationship with this guy and developing a relationship where we now spend time together. And there's no doubt about it in my mind, that guy will become a born-again believer. And in his business of photography, which is all about vision anyway, who knows what the possibilities are in this day we live. And I just think, honestly, if we can unlock ourselves and become more visionary, BP looked in the mirror and saw Jesus grab him by the hand. And from that day on, he decided, I'm getting out of this box. And I think it's sad to say, but I meet a lot of people who are trapped in boxes. I mean, honestly, I don't know how it is. We've got Christ living within us. My Bible says we have the mind of Christ, which is hard to believe because I think he wouldn't think too small. I don't think he would have one small thought. I mean, he's a guy who turned up. When Jesus turned up on the beach or down at the wharf, wherever it was, and they're the most difficult. I mean, their language is horrible. I went out with a pastor the other day. We went to a movie, and he said to me, this was his assumption, which I thought was a great movie. He said, how do you cope with that terrible language they use? And I said, jeepers, was there some? I didn't even hear it. And he said, no, there was quite a few bad bits of language used in the movie. I said, you've been on a work site that some of you guys work on lately? You've been, have you been around? I said, she's pretty rugged out there the way they talk. And I said, I reckon when Jesus went down the wharf that day, fishermen, if you've hung around a couple of them, like their jokes are not good. There's not a lot good about them. And then this rabbi turns up. And they've probably heard about him because he's the guy that turns up at your wedding and turns water into wine. He's a rabbi. You want to know this guy if you're a fisherman. Like, when's he coming my way? And so they start following Jesus. And I think sometimes we just get so small in our thinking of what God can do in us. And I just want to challenge us today. We live in a very real world of real hurting people. And in business, there are so many people right now who are struggling. So many people. And I reckon you guys have the keys to unlock incredible potential in amazing businesses around this nation. And I think sometimes we confine ourselves to a box because we just refuse to break out and be Jesus to the world we live in. That's all we really are. We can't be anything other than that. We can only be Jesus to the hurting world we live in. And we're not philosophers. We're not that clever when you compare yourself to what God is and who the Holy Spirit is. And so the more we allow of him to work out of us, the greater impact and influence we will have. BP, after seeing that vision, there was nothing going to keep him in a box. And so he was breaking out of that box with the light. No, so his mum would tow him into the room the next day and BP start rocking the box. And it's amazing how many people don't like you to rock the boat. They just want it to be stable. And BP's rocking the box and next thing he manages to get the box to tip over. He learns how to rock it enough, just the right way to tip the thing over. And next thing he's out of the box and his mother's over putting him back in the box. And there's always 1,000 people just want to put you back in the stinking box. And they want to box you in. And so BP the next day, he bowls the box over again and he consistently rocking this box. And finally BP can crawl faster than his mama can run. And so he's moving before she can box him up again. He's on the fast crawl. And it wasn't long before BP is up and running and walking and playing with all the other kids running in the park. And BP ended up growing up, and if you've read his autobiography, he becomes a man. He sells the block of land that they build the Seattle Space Needle on. And this huge block of land sells for millions of dollars and becomes an incredibly wealthy businessman and travels around the world preaching a message just simply titled, Get Out of Your Box. And it's an incredible message and an incredible thought that if we can just keep breaking down the boundaries that restrict. I shared about my son's death, you know, and you can get boxed in by a lot of stuff in life. And I think sometimes we live a lot smaller than we should live because of the circumstances we have to deal with. And we struggle to deal with issues and circumstances. We struggle because we become condemned. We wonder what we did wrong. And the devil's pretty quick to remind you of all the stuff that you could have done wrong that have caused this situation happen in your life. And if you're not careful, he'll have you boxed into believing that you're a nobody and a nothing, and begin to restrict the capacity of the anointing that's on our lives. And then we stop moving in the gifts of the Spirit. We fail to function in the simplicity. I teach our Sunday school kids this stuff. Our kids in Sunday school are learning how to operate in the word of knowledge and in the power of the supernatural. And I think it's sad that sometimes we become adults and we become limited by the situations in our life that we're no longer operating in what God wants, the freedom of the Spirit. I can go, honestly, I go into our Sunday school for, and I just say to the kids, hey, listen, I want you moving in the gifts of the Spirit at your school, because that's one of the great marketplaces of our world today. And so, and the kids are powerful at this stuff. They've got no intimidation at all. They think that they're absolutely amazing until some adult starts to put them down and box them in. But they are just free, and you can go in there and have a word. And I honestly, I was in our Sunday school the other day just saying, kids, some of you at your schools right now, you could have incredible revival in your school. And I just said, some of you need to start to operate in words of knowledge and stuff about the kids in your class. And I talked about a kid who's got a hole in his eardrum. And I said, you know, just as an example, the next thing a little kid in the Sunday school puts, he says, that's me, I've got a hole in my eardrum, you know. And next thing, we get the little guy out, and I said to the kids, why don't you come out and pray for him? He's going to get healed today. And the guy's been totally healed. Wow. And you know, we so complicate you don't need any degrees for this stuff. You've just got to be yourself. I'm absolutely convinced that, you know, Peter and some of these fishermen guys, they didn't have too many degrees. They might have had a degree in bad language or whatever it might be. Peter was the ADD person of his century. I mean, if he was here today, he's got ADD. Let's label him and let's set him aside as he needs special help and put him on lithium or whatever it is, and let's totally destroy every capacity he has to be big in God. And, you know, I'm a total ADD, but thank God they never knew it, never had a label for it when I was at school. And you just kept going, you know. I'm the ultimate kindergarten dropout. But found God and found that he is all I need, is what the Bible says. And so BP teaches me that, like Paul and Silas, let's break out of our box and let's affect the world we live in with the power of God. Because the things that we're involved in will restrict you if you're not careful. The death of your son will cripple you. It'll stop you. It'll hinder and restrict. But you've got to look for opportunities. There's opportunities in every single thing we come from. You know, I think it was 8 months after my son got killed. Might have been 6 months, sorry. And we would all know in this nation about they call it the Elam tragedy. You've all heard of that? The Elam tragedy. Even the Aussies know about it. And I know every parent of the Elam tragedy personally. And here's how it happened, you know. Like, we are 1 year after the death of Rick. It's funny, eh? When somebody dies and they're close to you, everybody's in your face. They don't know what to say. They say all the stupidest things, like, must have been God needed him more than you did, and all that kind of stuff. And that's like, please don't say that to people. It's like, it might sound unbelievably spiritual, but it's actually crap. Okay? So people will say stuff like that because we like to be spiritual. But I think God wants us to get rid of every spiritual bone out of us and just become Jesus to the people we're meeting. Just become real. And then we're more spiritual than we ever were anyway, because when you're natural and when you're real, you really affect incredible lives for Christ. And people would say stuff like that, and there were people all around us, and I was mad at some of them and loved some of them and couldn't understand some of them and wondered why they were so finding this such a spiritual sort of an encounter. I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in my whole life. Just somebody just hug me and weep with me and help me there. And and help me find who I am. Help me be convinced I'm not gone crazy right here. And so 1 year after that, when we were we'd worked through all this, we're over it. Not over is the wrong word, but we're through it. We've walked through hell and we're beginning to pick up a little pace, because you're not walking quick when you barely get one foot in front of the other when you're walking through hell. But on the other side, you're kind of picking up a bit of pace. You're ready to go again. And so it was 1 year, hardly a phone call, hardly a soul, hardly a message. And I was like, boy, this is a pretty sad moment for us, and everyone's forgotten now. And if you're not careful, you become focused on self, and self becomes more important than what you are or who you're called to be, and you're so focused on yourself, you shut the world down around you. And I think a lot of people live in small worlds where we're more concerned about what my dad did to me 30 years ago or whatever happened there, and the big story about getting out of your box is get over yourself. Like, it wouldn't hurt us. Just tap the person next to you and say, get over yourself. Because when we get over ourselves, we'll influence a bigger world. I remember Julia coming to me, you know, it was the 1 year anniversary. We went out to the site where my son died, and we got the family together, and we all went out and we had a coffee together, and we laughed about the incredible, crazy things he had done in his life and some of the funny things, and we laughed and we joked and that. And we got home that night, and my wife Julia said to me, you know what, the best thing we could ever do today is live beyond ourselves, which I'm totally convinced is the greatest key to set you free to influence. And she said, why don't we ring up the Elam school, get the name of the people who are not Christians, I think two families were Christian, ring up the Elam school and get the names and what have you of the Elam families that were affected through this tragedy, and let's invite the whole of them to dinner at our place on the day of their anniversary, which is exactly what we did. And we had the eight families of the Elam tragedy arrive at our house that night. We had the interns from church be the waitresses and waiters, and we turned our house into a restaurant, and we served them a silver service meal. And I got up and I just talked about how God can come in with a revelation of his love that becomes bigger than the tragedy of our loss. And man, there were people around that table who have become friends of ours now, who were weeping and crying. This is not Christian people. These are just ordinary people. And I reckon one of the biggest things we ever did in our lives was living outside our own misery and living in someone else's hope and expectation that there's got to be some answer, and causing them to rise up to a new level. And that would be the greatest thing we can do in overcoming tragedy in our own life. And I think we need to learn, and I think the big lesson I've learned out of that is, let's live bigger than the tragedy we're facing in our own little world, because we see it as so huge if we focus on it. And every one of us goes through stuff, but just let's live bigger. Let's break the box and get out of it and live a little bit bigger. And that's probably, like, honestly, you can do that. I know the truck driver who hit Regan, and there can be, there's difficulty there, you know. And I remember we went and bought a gift for the truck driver, and you know, just stuff that's just bigger. Just got to live bigger. And we went down. I remember going to the police station saying, could we please have the address of the truck driver? And, of course, they think we want to go and chop his head off or shoot him or whatever. So they said, sorry, we cannot do that. You know, the law restricts that we can give you that. And I said, well, if you can't do it, why don't we just go buy a card, put it in this present, and let you deliver it for us, which they did. And on the card, we didn't say anything stupid and religious. We just said, hey, just letting you know that we're a Christian family and we are praying for you. And we're praying for you because we hear that you'll be unable to go back to truck driving because of the emotional tragedy. So we're praying for you because we're just believing that you need to support your family and look after your own life. So we're praying that you'll be able to get back to truck driving and that you'll be healed of all this emotional stuff and that your life will be great. And just put my phone number on the bottom in case you want to call. And sure enough, 2 months after Regan's death and after all that tragedy, I get this phone call from a guy I've never ever met. And he rings up and he says, hey, I'm the guy who was involved in the accident that your son had. I was driving the truck that day. I was injured in the accident, and it was looking like I'd never go back to truck driving because of the trauma that I was facing. I'm not a Christian, but I want to thank you for your prayers, because today I'm returning to work.
Wow. Wow.
And you know what? I reckon we'd have a greater impact in our business world, in our capacity as people, if we just live a little bit bigger than our own hurt. And I think, what can you learn through some of it? You know, we all go through stuff in life. Right? There's not one of you here that wouldn't have faced some tragedy or disaster. You know, we could all stand up here and share a testimony like, not the same as mine last night, but similar too, which we even heard from you this morning, Rob. And you know what I believe? I believe that if we just live bigger than what that was, let's influence our world. Let's get out of our boxes, our boxed-in thinking of what Christianity or whatever you term it is, but just let's live bigger than that. You know, I'm a pastor of a church, and I battle consistently against being confined to what religion should be. I just want to live bigger, you know? And I think for all of us as guys here, let's outlive what God's put in our lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I could share story after story of that, but I'm going to hand over to Rod right now, because I just know he's got some good stuff on the marketplace. And okay, God bless you guys. Be encouraged.